Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you, Rob?
Hey, Rob.
Good, Abe. How are you guys?
Hey, Rob.
Doing well.
Good, good. So, how was your week? What's on your mind?
Week was good. Anthony was just telling me about a meeting he had yesterday. We hadn't really finished the conversation, so why don't you repeat it and get Rob up to speed as well?
Yeah, I have a family member who's a very prominent doctor in the area, and I've been speaking to him the last, I don't know, 8 to 5 years, basically just trying to spark conversation as it pertains to investing and his finances and things like that. And he's always, held everything kind of close to the chest. But I engaged with him a couple months ago. Just threw out a flyer on, some savings promotion that we had. He's always told me cash is king. He's a big cash guy. So I threw out a flyer, and we engaged in, more conversations. And yesterday I met with him, and he's gonna basically little by little bring over the whole relationship, which is really, really, really good.
Wow, good. How
Very.
big?
How big is that?
What's that?
How big?
It's probably gonna be about $3 million, and then another $1 million in annuities.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what another interesting thing about this is that he's somebody that I had on my radar several years ago and was never able to make any inroads with. I was very involved with wine. I used to write for a wine magazine, and I used to try and prospect people involved in that in one way or another. And this guy is he's a neurosurgeon, but he happens to also be involved with wine and he actually owns a little winery out in California. So I had chatted with him up over the years and never really got anywhere with him. One time we had talked about One time we had talked about meeting, but it never we were never able to schedule anything. Are you
Wow.
still there?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm here. Can you
So
hear me? Yeah.
it's great to see Anthony be successful with this guy.
It's great. How close a relative is he?
He's really, I call him my uncle, but he's really my mom's second cousin.
Okay.
We would talk maybe once or twice a year, not too often. He's a great guy. Just we didn't talk too often. We would see each other, Christmas Eve for the party and all that. And other than that, not much else, unless it was another family event or whatnot. But we've been speaking a lot more now the last, 3 or 4 months, and he brought over some cash for the promotion, and now, starting to get more involved. He wants to retire, so definitely gonna supernova him.
Super job. Nice job.
Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, and Anthony's looking at this, and I think he's correct about it as a possible COI.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
Now,
originally thought, after all
Anthony,
years of, I'm sorry.
give me your heritage. Where's your family from and all that?
Yeah, I was born here. My parents were born in Cuba. They came when they were small, about 6, 7. He was,
Okay.
so this relative, this uncle, I'll call him my uncle, he was born in Cuba, and he came over with my mom. When my mom was 6, he was 12, so he kind of took care of her in New York when they moved over there. And then everybody moved over to Miami and, kind of branched out a little bit. But he started studying neurosurgery, became extremely successful. He was the chief neurosurgeon at Baptist down here, Baptist Hospital.
True.
Yeah, and then he also, now he's actually working at Florida International University, which is another way that I can kind of get into Florida International.
For sure.
I want to say he's the dean, or he's involved in the medical school. He doesn't work a lot, and he's basically, making $500,000 a year there. So he does seminars and things like that. over there. But now
that's
he wants
wonderful.
To retire on himself.
Terrific. Terrific. Great story. So you're right. There's a, you know, whenever you can get a an affiliation to a community, that's just one more, you know, commonality. That's what we're always looking for. What's the language, literally, what's the language of our community? And, you know, that can be, you know, the language of neurosurgeons and doctors, but it's also the language of, you know, Spanish and Cubans and that stuff. So that all those things make you a part of the community or part of the tribe, which makes you more acceptable than somebody outside of the tribe. So there, people are always looking to feel comfortable. You know, that goes back to our caveman days, you know, that anytime you'd go out of the cave, you know, you only trusted people in your own cave, right? Your own tribe. And otherwise somebody would try and kill you. So it's that kind of thing that human beings are still stuck with. And we have to know that when we're trying to build trust and trying to get people to do business with us, the more we can be one of them. What do we have in common is the first thing we always talk about when we meet someone. I mean, that's why people ask you, where did you go to school? Where did you grow up? Blah, blah, blah. They're all trying to find commonality to talk about, but also to feel comfortable. And that's the game. So when you have something like this, you're right, they can be a center of influence because, especially, you know, people say, when should I ask for another introduction or for an introduction? I said, well, when were you the happiest with your car? You know, you bought a new car. When were you the happiest with it? Well, what would you answer?
Towards the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, when you drive it out of the showroom, right? You take a picture of it. It's probably the last picture you take of your car. That's when you're the happiest. That's when you're the most anxious to recommend that car to somebody else. Same. So when somebody's first doing business with you, it reinforces their decision when they recommend you to somebody else.
Yeah, I think what I have in mind, I owe, you know, a lot of gratitude to Abe. He's kind of coached me through it, and he's certainly helped with the process. But ideally, what I had thought of, I didn't think I was going to get the relationship. You know, at least I didn't think the meeting was going to go as well as it did yesterday. But my initial plan was to, you know, have him as a COI, you know, bring him on board to a couple of seminars that we do or a dinner or something. Re-engage with, you know, myself and Abe, and, you know, show him the team aspect of it so that way he can, you know, start referring. Because now he mentioned it to me in our first meeting. You know, he goes, I remember you when you were, you know, excuse my French, a little shit.
Sure.
You know, running around my house 4 or 5 years old, and now I'm doing business with you. And, you know, we laughed about it. But I don't think that he's doing it as a favor. I think he does trust me. But if I wasn't related to him, you know, I don't think I would have been able to land the account. So I kind of want to show him, you know, there's more to the team than just me.
Yep.
I think maybe he'll feel
Smart. Comfortable,
you know, referring once he sees
it. Absolutely. This is a perfect 5-star model guy.
Yeah.
This is a perfect thing where you know, he does it because it makes him feel good, but then you want to back it up by making it a rational decision, you know. So the 5-star model, 1242, meeting with him on a monthly basis for a coffee or for lunch or whatever he can give you for time is money in the bank because he'll want to help you.
Yep. Yeah,
and as you say, he'll want to help you more if you're real, incredible. And so that's where you want to prove it with the 5-star model and the 1242 and the whole investment process, et cetera. Financial planning, all those things build credibility with him.
Yep.
Great, great story. Okay, what else?
Well, I've been focusing this week on COIs and niches. Unfortunately, not a lot of, you know, you're right, it takes time. I mean, I don't have anything to tangible results yet, but I reached out to several different people, proposed meeting, and we're in various stages of trying to schedule that. I had a nice conversation with the accountant from the guy who is a COI, he's an ambassador for me, had a good conversation with his accountant who I met once a couple of months ago, and we agreed we're going to meet, but now we've gotten bogged down in terms of scheduling it. And then I circled back to the accountant for my biggest client to sit down and suggested that we sit down, and he's all for it, but we haven't been able to schedule that either. And I've also reached out to the guy I met who owns a commercial insurance agency to schedule that, nothing quite, as well as an estate planning attorney.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll keep on that. I'll get all those people scheduled. The two meetings I had for niches, neither one of those meetings held up, unfortunately. They both were not able to meet in person.
It's okay.
Yeah.
So
we'll keep trying until we do.
Well, you're back in the prospecting mode.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. See, so I mean, we all know, right, that when you make all these prospecting appointments, and you know some of them are going to fall through. That just is what it is. And
yep.
So that's the game, right? Just the game.
It is the nature of the beast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you just keep going. You just keep making them, and you get them. And, you know, for us to expect, you know, big results in a week is a joke. So.
Right.
What we're going to have happen though is we're going to fill up, you know, a month's worth of prospecting, and pretty soon things will start happening, right?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Make sure you're adding to this model and not just following up on these guys. Add to it so you've
right.
got multiple things going on, so that one drops and then another drops, and meanwhile you've got eight things going on, and one drops, and then, you know, four, seven are procrastinated. That's okay.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I get that. You know, for example, I'm looking for a good estate planning attorney relationship, and I realize that may not occur on the first, you know, the first guy or gal that I sit down with.
No, that's right. I mean, I can't tell you how, you know, it's just it's they're not trained to understand marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that class for them, particularly
right.
estate planning attorneys. They just don't have that class. And so, well, good. Okay.
Yeah,
how about the,
experience. Yeah,
what else?
I mean, that's pretty much it. I've been doing the executive summaries this month or this week, and that's going well. We finalized the 24-month calendar, so that's up and running. I feel very good about tightening up the process.
The 24-month calendar is a big deal. Nice going.
Yeah.
Okay. 12-4-2 is good. The you're doing the agendas and executive summaries.
Yeah, and continued the process of book segmenting and giving some more, gave four more people to Anthony this week, really five, where I feel like they're people that there's something there to be done, and
yeah.
I think he's the man to do it.
This is really good, guys. I'm really pleased. Nice job. It's good for Anthony. It's good for you.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that Anthony is going to include you in the development of the neurosurgeon. That's really brilliant. And okay, how about the use of the ambassador spreadsheet?
You know, we didn't bring it to our meeting on Monday, so that's something that we can get refocused on.
Okay, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I really think it's it should be a part and parcel to that meeting.
Yeah.
Every week you're moving the, you're moving people from left to right every week.
Yeah.
So I think that can be a big help to you when you're working on your agendas, right? So
sure.
you're not just putting stuff down, but you're thinking, you know, okay, this guy, I've got to move him from a customer to a client. And that means I got to do this. I got to do a financial plan.
Right.
You know, to me, the three things, customer to client is 1242, paying a fee, and has a financial plan, or they're not a client. Okay.
Yeah. I tend to agree. I mean, I also like to see them in some sort of fee-based managed program.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're paying a fee, right?
Okay. Yeah. Then I didn't hear what you said, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It's three things: the 1242, paying a fee, and they're doing a and they've done a financial plan. And the financial plan is a process, not a product.
Right.
And the you know, you're going to do more business with a client when you do a financial plan, and you're going to feel better. You know, it's
yeah.
just doctors do more business with us when they do a physical. You know, they find shit. They find stuff.
Right.
And that's the game.
It is.
So
it's true.
It's the way we do business. That's it. This is it.
Yeah, and I've seen firsthand on both sides of the coin how once an advisor is the guy who does the financial planning, it's really hard to dislodge them out of that position, and they basically control the relationship.
That's exactly right. He who owns the plan owns the client.
Right.
So it's a defense
right.
as well as offense.
Yeah, sure, totally. I mean, we've been able to take over relationships over the years by doing planning, and we've had it happen to us every now and then. So it's
right.
it can go both ways.
Right. So this doctor, you want to do that. You want to do this financial plan for your neurosurgeon. Maybe not the first meeting, but that's what you tell him what you do and why you do it. You know, a general practitioner does a physical and finds out the guy's got a aneurysm, then they come to him. Okay, so he's going to get all that.
Well, Anthony's really good about leading with financial planning. He's already done a plan for this guy. And
Wow.
Yeah, well, Anthony's been very successful partnering with other more senior advisors who are, you know, traditional broker kind of guys. Smiling and dialing,
yeah.
And by doing planning for their clients, he's been able to have a lot of successes, and not just Peter. I mean, other guys in the office, he's been able to do planning for their clients and bring in additional assets and really, you know, create some good results.
It's great. So you guys are right there. I don't have to sell you.
No. All right. I do have a couple of questions. Unless
fire away.
One is Tony, you know, Tony's role, not Anthony, but Tony.
Yep.
You know, he and I spoke this morning. I think that, you know, he's experiencing a sense of, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but of wanting to help and do more around this and these efforts, but not yet really being clear on how exactly to do that. And maybe we're not, you know, involving him enough. I mean, because Anthony and I have done Supernova already twice, we have a huge advantage around, you know, knowing what's going on. Whereas for Tony, it's all new. You know, so I haven't yet turned over a lot of the things that I think eventually he'll be heading up to him. But can you kind of speak in general to what his role, assuming, you know, for as long as he's in the CSA position, his role in this will be?
Well, yeah, sure. Tony's role, if you look at Chapter 6, I talk about turning the business over to the CSA.
Okay.
And that's the idea. Now, you can't do that in the first week, but you can over time, right, as you can turn over different pieces of it as you grow. So what does that mean? It means that Tony's in charge of the schedule. So that means Tony's in charge of the calendar.
Right.
All right? So what does that mean? That means that when ultimately he's the one, if you went into a dentist office and you walked up to the receptionist, that's probably the person that runs the calendar for the dentist.
Right.
So they check you in, they turn you over to the dental hygienist who cleans your teeth. Theoretically, that'd be Anthony doing the financial plan. Then the doctor comes in and looks in your mouth for opportunities, sets another appointment to fill it, to create a, you know, to put a cap on or something, and then send you back to Tony to schedule the next appointment. Okay.
Right.
So Tony's the person that runs the practice. They schedule all appointments. Theoretically, they do all the agendas, all the executive summaries, schedule the Monday meeting, the Friday meeting, create an agenda for those, and an executive summary.
Okay.
So that's it. That's a big job.
Yeah. All right. I mean, right now I'm doing pretty much all of that, so it'll definitely take some time to turn all that stuff over to him and get him up to speed on it.
Well, he could do the Monday and the Friday meeting now. He could do the he could do the agenda and the executive summary for that.
Yeah, that's exactly so, right. Good idea.
So Tony, you schedule it and send out a meeting enough, you know, you can put it on the Outlook, put it right on Outlook and make them, you know, accept it. And then you have an agenda and then an executive summary. And your agenda could be as simple as what we're just going through right now, right?
Yeah.
We created a set of homeworks for this, and that can be a perfect set of homeworks for your meeting. Okay. So we started out with, you know, marketing, and that would be an interesting conversation. Then, the 24-month calendar, we could talk about that. The 12-4-2. The ambassador spreadsheet, and that would be, you know, that would be fine. You know, so what are we doing in marketing? The ambassador spreadsheet, marketing, you know, all the different, you know, niches, centers of influence, and other things we're doing in marketing. That's good. That'd be good. That'd be Monday meeting. Friday meeting is nothing more than the 5-star model presented. You know, planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. And you just get a simple, you know, 2-3 minute presentation by each person on those subjects, and you can be done in 15 minutes if you need to be.
Yeah, we've been doing the Monday meeting in about 15 minutes.
Good.
Because otherwise it gets into a lot of bullshitting around. And the Friday results.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
You can even do them standing up if you want them to go faster.
Yeah. The Friday results meeting we've been doing as a lunch, which kind of seems like a nice way to end the week.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for the team. Because
you
never know what's going to come up. You know, other things come up. That's good.
Right. Exactly. What about client events? And the reason I ask, there's one of the hedge funds that we work with that I really respect their process and feel very confident recommending them is has done sponsored client events for us in the past, where it's basically bring people invite clients who are shareholders of the fund as well as have them bring prospects or really just invite anybody qualified, existing clients who we want to introduce the fund to or who are already in the fund. And it's gone well in the past. We've done several of these over the years. They're saying they want to do something in the second half of this year. How often should we be doing client events? And do you think something like that is a good example of something that's good to do?
I really do. The idea is you've got an invitation to make people look. Hey, one of the things you can do is to make people smarter.
Yeah.
And that's smart people want to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Aware people want to be more aware. What they want to avoid at all cost is being dumb or looking dumb. Okay.
Right.
So by having a client event where they're talking about subjects that are interesting for them, that are something that they didn't know, a new perspective on the way on investments or whatever they're doing. If you respect them and you think they're very smart, then get them to tell their story. Because, you know, by its nature, hedge funds are supposedly the smartest people out there, right? So give them a chance to tell everybody how smart they are. So I think it's wonderful. I think you could do it. I think you could do it twice a year. It's like 12-4-2. The way, 12-4-2 doesn't work 12-4-2 because you're going to miss one. Because it just, it's impossible to be there. You have an emergency meeting, right? They're going to miss one. Clients are going to miss one. So it's not going to be 12. It's probably going to be 10 rather than 12. Well, you schedule two a year. Most people aren't going to make both of them.
Yeah.
So you're going to capture, it's like advertising. You keep advertising the same people and you keep picking up, 3% of them. Respond all the time because it's a different 3%. So you have it twice a year for you, but for them it's once a year because that's all they can make.
Sure.
You do it once a year, they're going to miss it, then it'll be another year before they hear from the guy.
Right.
Okay?
That makes sense.
Yeah, so twice a year.
All right. Twice a year with that group, the hedge fund, or just two client events
a
year?
No, twice a year with that group.
How many client events a year do you think is ideal?
It depends on what they are. I think you should have an ambassadors group, even if you have two ambassadors. You should have an ambassadors dinner and a recognition dinner, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one.
Okay.
I think you should sponsor something around the holidays.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It doesn't have to be around the holidays. It can be, it can be something else. Everybody enjoys you don't have to be Christian to enjoy the Nutcracker, right? So, you could do something like that and rent the green room for the Nutcracker and have a bunch of people in to see that. It's a cute show, and you get a chance to, support the ballet or whoever. Yeah, the ballet would be putting it on. So that kind of fits in. When you ask me how many events should you do, how many boards are you on? See, so these things all kind of come together, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of your development here is to be on boards, and those boards are raising money, so they have events. You make that your event. You invite clients and sponsor a table and so forth. So you're doing things regularly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings up a good point. Right now, I'm on zero boards.
Yep.
So, having reading Supernova Multiplier, that's got me thinking about doing some research into charities and boards I can get involved with.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I looked into the board of one of my A clients. I know she's super passionate about this this board, but it's a local charity, and I looked at who's on the board, and I don't think it's, you know, my hesitation is to ask her about it, and then feel obliged to, you know, follow through, join, and then, or come to a meeting or two, and then realize, you know, it's not a lot of not the right people. They plant trees in the local community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, looking at the board, it's a bunch of people either I already know in one way or another, or they just don't seem to be heavy hitters.
Okay,
you know?
That answers your don't go down that road.
Yeah.
Just don't go down that road. I mean, it's not a good road. You know it.
Right.
It's like any niche. These are niches, right? So it's like any niche. You know, you're not going to prospect a niche that has no money. But
right.
If we have a group of neurosurgeons, then we're going to join that group or sponsor something that they're interested in, because we know that every single neurosurgeon meets our minimum.
Mm-hmm. What about collectors of fine wine?
I think, you know, that's a – I mean, do you really need to ask me that question?
Well, here's the thing. Having that in my background, I had over the years thought that would be a great way to go. So I went to a lot of wine events and went to a lot of things and tried to chat people up. And it maybe I was doing it wrong, but it tended to not really go anywhere.
Well, did you make friends?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was part of this group for a couple of years where we met once a month and everybody brought a bottle of wine in secret, and then we tried to guess each other's wine and, you know, or, I mean, various other formats like that. And, yeah, I mean, I became friendly with them, you know, but it never really – maybe what I was lacking was, like, the – a way to segue it into a business conversation, you know?
So, all right, so what would I say from the book? You read the chapter. What did I say to do?
You said, yeah, I'm drawing a blank here.
It's okay. You know, they say that in order, you know, my five-time rule, somebody was telling me you can ask the neurosurgeon, but they said that actually for things to be totally retained, they need to hear it eight times,
okay.
Eight separate times. So anyway, the answer is you must make friends with them.
Right.
And friendship takes time, and you need to have something more than the wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the wine, it's like you need to have more than trees, or you need to have more than whatever it is. So
right.
You've got one thing in common, but to be friends, you're going to have to really have a lot in common, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is what happens is that venue is an opportunity to find out, to meet someone that you have a lot in common with. It's the same way you'd meet a girl, right? You'd
right.
meet a girl, and you liked her. You met her at the wine tasting, and what do? You invite her out, right? And you get to know her, and you have coffee, and then you do stuff together. You go to a ball game. You do this. You do that, and you find out you like each other. That's the same. It sounds weird, but that's what we do as humans. And you need to do that. Whether it's a man or a woman, you need to find out what you have in common. If you really like them and you'd like to be friends with them, then you ask them for lunch, and then you ask them about their business. And being normal human beings, they will ask you about your business.
Gotcha.
And then if they're at all in the business of being dissatisfied with their situation, they will have you will have an opportunity to do business with them.
Okay? That makes sense.
So it's not easy and it's not one off, but it's a lot better because these people have money and you wouldn't be with them if they weren't qualified.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, most of them do, and it's kind of easy to figure out who does and who doesn't.
Right. Okay. So that's the game. Is it just don't, you know, it shouldn't be painful for you. It should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
If it's painful, don't do it. Do something else.
Sure.
Okay. So if you like collecting wines and you like talking about wines, do it. If you're not, go play golf with them. Or,
right.
You know, go sailing with them, or shoot guns with them, or trout, you know, fly fish with them.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it should be something you enjoy.
That makes sense.
Because then it's not painful when they say no. You still had fun.
Sure. So, for example, I mean, trying to, like, let's say I'm, you know, in, I don't know, at a wine event, I'm seeing the same guy I've seen for, you know, months, if not years. Trying to begin a conversation around business then isn't necessarily the right way to go. It's better to invite him to lunch or something like that. Get him
yeah.
out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Same as
I found that.
You wouldn't like to be there and having a good time and somebody say, hey, I'd like to be your CPA, you know?
Right.
You'd be like, what? What are you talking about? I thought we were having a good time.
Right. That's what I mean. I mean, it comes off as kind of out of place when you're, you know,
right.
when you're trying to ask them if their investments are working as hard as their money is working as hard as they are or something like that.
Right. So you don't do that. You actually wait for them to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sorry, can you come back in about an hour? Thank you. So, yeah, you kind of wait for them to ask, to be honest with you. Remember, mm-hmm. the key to getting is giving.
Right.
So if you want to give, you got to give. So you got to be a connector. So you got to figure out, how am I going to help this guy? That's the question that comes into your head, not how am I going to get help.
Sure.
How am I going to help? Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. So that's what you're constantly doing. You're constantly saying to yourself, how can I connect this guy to somebody that's going to make his life better, more interesting, more fun, and more profitable?
Mm-hmm.
So same
yeah,
for
makes...
you, Anthony. It's the way we have to think. We think that's the way human beings don't think. They think, I want. And when you're five, that's fine. But when you're an adult, you gotta be the other person, the giving person, the egoless person, the person that's independently wealthy, happy, and just out there to help others.
That sounds good.
That's who you are, okay? And that's who you project.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, nobody likes it when people show up at a social event and start passing out business cards.
Right. So, you know, you're independently wealthy. You're good. Everything's good.
Gotcha.
You're just there to help. You know, you're just there to make life better for them. If they need your help, it's great. You do better. You do it better than anybody else. That's why you're wealthy.
Right.
I mean, you know, that people say, well, if you were successful, you wouldn't be working for a living. Well, that's wrong. I work for a living. I'm wealthy. Okay?
Sure.
I do it for fun. I do it because I like to do it. Because it's good for my brain. Because I get a kick out of it when you're successful. Okay? So.
Yeah. My biggest client worked right up until the day he died. You know, and at first I thought he had a heart attack on his way to work at age 70, and at first I thought that was a tragedy, and then I realized, well, wait a minute, he's worth over $100 million. He was doing exactly what he loves doing, surrounded by several of his family members in the business. And he found it interesting, challenging, rewarding. And, you know, he was doing the thing he loved up until the very day he passed. So that's not a tragedy. If anything, that's you know, living a life well lived.
It is. It's exactly what you want to be doing, Abe. People say, well, I want to retire early. Be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Okay? Because now, does that mean that do you need to work 7 days a week? No, of course not. Do you need to work 5 days a week? No. But, you know, 2 days a week with people you love and care about and enjoy, it's great.
Yeah. That sounds good. I mean, I'd much rather focus on wine collectors than attorneys anyway.
There you go. And then, you know, wine auctions are, they're crazy. You know, the one they have over in Naples is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean for you to get involved in that, but I will tell you, there's money that's insane money.
Yeah.
And there's crooks, and there's counterfeits, and there's all kinds of interesting things going on, like in the art market, right? All kinds of thieves. So, how interesting is that, right? I mean, helping people to prevent themselves from buying bad wine and, you know, fake wines, and very interesting. I would think that I'm fascinated by counterfeit anything. You know, how do you avoid it? What do you look for? I think that'd be a fascinating seminar.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I think you got a great opportunity there, and you know, you do a nice wine dinner for a charity, combine it with a charity, raise some money, you know, sell some wines. Just, you know, let your imagination go and just think about, you know, you'd obviously invite people of wealth and they know you're doing a good thing for the community, and you're an expert on wines. Come on, that makes you smart and a Renaissance man.
Right.
People like, I bet our neurosurgeon has got a lot of interest, and he's smart in a lot of areas. Typically they are.
Yeah, he's very intelligent. Yeah, he actually said to me yesterday, so he's now wanting to retire from Florida International. He's 70, so he's going to have to start taking his required minimum distributions. And they're offering him a part-time Baptist to monitor robotic surgeries for like 2 days a week, paying about $300,000. And he's considering it only because he wants to stay, you know, intellectually challenged, is how he put it. But other than that, he really wants to travel and just enjoy life. He had a dear friend that was 55 just passed, so he's rethinking a lot, but yeah, he wants to stay, you know, intellectually challenged, I guess, constantly.
Here's good advice for him. Do the 2 days a week, take that job. And the reason I tell you to take the job, because if you retire, in 20 minutes, you're out of it. Meaning, if he just steps away and is gone for a year, he won't get that invitation again. You become irrelevant very fast in any business. So it's better to say, okay, let's work 2 days a week. Plus, you know, I'm going to be taking, you know, 8 weeks vacation as part of his contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll relay that.
You know, one thing I would suggest for Anthony also is, and this requires some delicacy, but somebody on Anthony's suspect list should be the widow of this guy's best friend who just passed.
Heck yeah.
You know, because you don't want to seem opportunistic, but on the same token, dealing with the death of a spouse is, you know, horrendous. And, I mean, I've been down that road with clients, and there's a lot of questions, and just navigating the process can be very overwhelming. So you can really help that person. And, you know, assuming he knows his friend's spouse, and she knows him, and there's a relationship there, she could, you know, he could be the natural person to make the introduction.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, this is a giving situation. You don't know, and you know, you don't know if it's going to be financially rewarding or not, but I would just suggest that you offer the, you know, especially, Abe, if you've been down that road and you've helped others, you know, that with the two of you presenting that just as a get him to tell the story and then say, hey, by the way, this is an area we've had a lot of experience in, and it's not one that comes without, you know, bumps in the road, because nobody's quite prepared, especially at 50, for this thing to happen. So my guess is she's going through a lot more than she should have to.
Yeah. I mean, I've had instances where the FA had a great relationship with the husband, and then he dies, and then the FA treats the wife like crap, like she's annoying him with all these questions. You
right.
know, and he can't be
horrible.
Bothered. That's why I got a $2.5 million account, because the daughter brought me in.
Yeah, because mom is a wreck. She can't make
right.
decisions. She's not going to do anything, and she's probably going to make mistakes because she's not going to make any decisions.
Yep. And if the FA didn't develop that relationship, if the FA didn't develop the relationship with the wife too, and only dealt with the husband, then it's a real problem. It becomes a real problem.
And if you've had this experience, Abe, and then we'll let you go. One of the things the question you've got to get to eventually with every client is, if you die tomorrow, would everything be set? Would everything be taken care of?
Yeah.
And you know, I guarantee you can't answer that question, nor can Anthony, nor can I perfectly, right?
Sure.
We're never ready. But the question is, who's, you know, are you almost ready? You know, almost everything's taken care of. Maybe you missed a couple things, but you're pretty much taken care of things. Well, wouldn't it be nice to just go through a checklist and make sure you know what you didn't do?
Sure.
Most people don't know what they didn't do. Okay, I don't think I know what I haven't done. Right. So wouldn't that be nice to have that checklist for your doctor, as well as especially if he's just lost a friend?
Sure.
And wouldn't it be nice to go through that with this woman and say, by the way, have you thought of all these things as these things have come up? No, I never heard of that. What am I supposed to, what's that? What's that? What's that? No, my FA didn't bring that up. He didn't bring that up. You know, I mean, it's a mess when somebody dies.
For sure. Especially
so,
if they have a...
Anyway, yeah, good opportunity. Any other questions that are on your mind?
How about you guys? No, I think we're pretty good.
Yeah, this is a good call, guys. You're doing great. Remember to begin to build your enthusiastically endorsed list.
Okay.
It's one of those things like the agenda and the executive summary that everybody sort of does, but don't, you know, I don't think they really do it.
Uh-huh.
I think they tell me they're doing it, and then they don't actually do it. It's like
yeah.
I never see, right?
Right.
And as a person moving from Indianapolis to Nashville, I have this horrible hole in my life where I have to get everybody, right?
Sure.
I have to get a new dentist, I have to get a new doctor, a new oncologist, a new this, a new that, everything, right? New lawyer, new this, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Now, I don't need them all at once. But if somebody gave me a list, it would sure be a nice reference point.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
the three of you building, a master list is can be, you know, have your own, but have a master list too. That
okay.
way you'll have three. You'll have three lists. You know, you want three names for everything. So you want to be building that. you know, that master list is, you know, because, I mean, that widow, she doesn't have that list.
No.
Plus, the other thing is geographically, it has to be, you know, it has, even if you're in one part of Miami, you know, that may not be in proximity. You need a local list, right, for your neighborhood. So this is a big job, but it's one that nobody's doing, nobody has, and I think is a gold mine. Because there's your answer to what can we really do for this guy? What can we really do? You know, why? What can I do for these wine people? What can I do for this? Wait a minute. Your enthusiastically endorsed list is the answer anytime a person has an issue, right? Like the child just got diagnosed with, you know, a disease. Somebody had, you know, a problem with drugs. Well, we've got an interventionist. We got this. We got a psychologist. We got a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody has the family problem. I always tell people, every family has the family problem. If you don't know what it is, ask. And if they don't think they have one, it may be them.
That's great.
Use that when you're giving speeches. It's a great thing. It's a funny line, and everybody loves it. And it's true. So, and you can be a help to them. You know, don't think of yourself as a financial advisor. Think of yourself as a consultant advisor on life.
Okay.
And you're there to help them in every aspect of their life. Like you ask me, you know, questions. Yes, they are many times sort of related, but once in a while I'll get questions that are not related. And, you know, because I've been doing this a long time, I may have an answer.
Right.
So, you know, and I don't care what the questions are. I'm very interested in answering or coming up with solutions to problems. That's all. I'm a problem solver. So are you.
Exactly.
So when you get stuck on what do I do next, always think about the opposite, giving.
Okay.
Genius, they say, is thinking in opposite. So when you want to get, focus on giving. It's the opposite, and that will be your answer.
That sounds good.
The book is now out in... so the three of you should all get the audio book and listen to it on the way to and from work, The Supernova Multiplier. I finally got it out this week. It was like, oh, God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited. And
yeah, that's cool. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, it's fun. So anyway, yeah, listen to it, you know, every day, same chapter, 5 days, and then move on to the next chapter.
Okay.
All right. Or just go to the chapters you're interested in, listen to those. But basically the idea is listening to it is just a great way to stimulate your brain. And you may not even listen to it. Once you hear something, it'll make you think of something, your brain goes somewhere else. That's okay. That's good. Okay.
Okay.
So it's on audio. Go to Amazon on audio. There it is. Encourage the rest of your associates in the office. Same.
They're a bunch of knuckleheads.
I know what you mean. it's true. People say, "Can I do 5 million?" I said, let me tell you, some really, really average people have done 5 million. Okay? So,
yep.
Yes, you can. You can do 20 million if you really want to. It's just a number.
Yep.
All right, guys.
All
good
right.
Talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.